comes the sun, and I say it's all right.
Welcome to IPOS On Air with Noemi. Join us every Friday night at 7 p.m. only on Devil Radio 92.7 FM. The call line is always open at 844-967-2789. And welcome back to another show. It has been a crazy week. but we're heading into some nicer weather here in Madison. And so hopefully we can enjoy that. But we're here with some neighborhood house guests again. I'm here with Laura right now. Laura, would you like to introduce yourself and kind of your position with Neighborhood House?
Yeah, so my name's Laura Gunlock. I'm the executive director at Neighborhood House. Mm-hmm. So that means I kind of do a little bit of everything. So overseeing all the day-to-day operations, the programs and services that we offer. And since we're so small, I do help run and facilitate the programs too.
Nice. Yeah. So what is Neighborhood House?
So Neighborhood House is Madison's first and oldest community center. We are located in the Greenbush neighborhood off of Regent and Mill Street.
Mm-hmm. So how did you kind of get involved with Neighborhood House?
So I started at Neighborhood House 4 years ago, and my background is in youth development. So I started there as the youth program director.
Nice.
Yep.
But Neighborhood House has been around for a really long time because it's Madison's oldest community center. Mm-hmm. So what's kind of the history behind that or when it started?
Yeah, so we are the first and oldest. So we started in 1916. And at that time, there was a huge wave of immigration. Mm-hmm. And there was a large Italian population in the Greenbush neighborhood. So there was a UW social work thesis written about creating a settlement house for that area. So we were created based on the Hull House Settlement House in Chicago to be a settlement house for that immigrant population. Mm-hmm. So the settlement house there's resident workers and they provide programs and services to a population.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So something that we've been thinking a lot about here and also talking about on air a lot of this week is the papers released on the Roe v. Wade tentative decision.
Mm-hmm.
Something that kind of reminded me of this was the Hull House, and kind of the history behind that started in 1889 by Jane Addams and Ellen Gatestar, yeah. I do know this. in Chicago, Illinois. Something that is really interesting to me is kind of the role of women at that time and kind of using this as a way to bring kind of the domestic sphere that they were normally in into the public sphere and being able to kind of take on different roles, which I think is really interesting. But one of these roles is kind of reacting to current events. I know that with COVID and obviously with this new decision, there's going to be a lot to be done. How do you kind of react to current events?
Yeah, and one thing I forgot to mention too, so at the time we were started by two young women too, so that's another thing that kind of set Neighborhood House apart.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we, you know, COVID was a huge national event and we, you know, kind of had to step up on a local level, and it took a lot of like thinking and planning on how we could do that. But a big thing that we did was virtual learning. So we had kids there every day doing virtual learning support, and we restarted a lot of food programming and then created more social programming, social services for the community. So it's kind of just always been sort of in our history that we, you know, are responding to the issues at the time, especially like our creation was because there was a social issue of an influx of new immigrants. So we've kind of always responded to that. I mentioned in the 60s and 70s, we kind of were known as being a place for mediation and activism, but for both sides of issues. So student groups that supported or didn't support the Vietnam War would meet at Neighborhood House.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of early like LGBTQ groups met there. We have a big connection with UW and a lot of student activism. So that's kind of like always been in our history.
Yeah. What kind of sets Neighborhood House apart from other community centers?
I think for that, something that sets us apart is our long history. We have. I just was reviewing our history this past week, and we do have a really long history of responding to the different challenges that we face as an organization and like the community as a whole. We also we're in Greenbush, and it's right off Regent and Mills. And next to us, we have, you know, hospitals with Meritor hospitals, and then on the other side, student housing. And there's 15 other around 15 other neighborhood centers in Madison, and they all kind of are in a very like tight-knit community. Mm-hmm. And we, since our neighborhood has changed, are a little different. We have to respond in a different way, and we kind of have a broader reach other than just our community. We can serve all of Madison and be known as being very welcome and opening to people from all across the city and Dane County. So that's a little bit about what makes us different. We're also very small, but we're still able to complete a lot of programming and services.
That's wonderful. Yeah, I know when Lauren was here the last time, she kind of discussed talking about like the food pantry and not having some of the ID requirements that maybe other food pantries might have.
Yeah, so that's one thing. We don't have basically any like bureaucracy or like levels of, you know, policy that we have to get through. So we kind of can create anything and set up our own kind of policies and rules. And we try really hard to make things really accessible, like with the food pantry, where we don't require any ID or income statements. Same with our youth programming. And with stuff that used to have those sort of requirements, we used to, you know, do a discounted rate and you'd have to show more proof of income. We kind of made a decision to do away with that to make it more accessible. And yeah, like I was saying, we can just try new programming and create new things. Like we could think of something today and implement it tomorrow. So there's not a lot of hoops we have to jump through like in that regard.
How can you, if you're like a community member, how can you have like input into Neighborhood House?
Yeah, so we're always looking for community feedback. We do it in informal and formal ways. So we do community surveys. We have a community input meeting coming up actually next week. So we have people like at the center that can come in and we'll, you know, we'll facilitate kind of conversations about what they want to see at Neighborhood House. We do a lot of just program feedback, too, where at the end of a program or the start of a program, we ask for feedback from the participants. And, you know, people just walk into the office and tell us, like, what they like and didn't like about things. So, again, being really small and, like, connected to the community, we can take that feedback and use it and improve on what we're doing.
Yeah. The other thing is Neighborhood House, so it's always been in the same, like, building and the same location.
It actually, so it was originally on West Washington for the first 50 years, and then that whole block was raised and then made into the Triangle housing community. And we and we moved into our current building in the mid-60s.
Okay.
So we have been there ever since.
Where, was that building used for anything else prior to that?
Our current building?
Yeah.
No. So it was built for us.
So it was built for Neighborhood House?
Yeah. So, we originally had different plans for original building and the, like that would be a little more functional, I think. And then just funding issues and space and time. So we ended up in what we, where we are now.
No, that's really interesting. So how has Neighborhood House kind of like evolved over time in like from like the original kind of mission to what it is now? Like, have there been like trends in Madison that you've seen?
Yeah, I would say, again, I was just reviewing our whole 100-year history, and it's definitely, like, a cycle. Like, over and over, it's like we start doing programming, and then there's some sort of change either in funding or leadership, and things, you know, you kind of have to regroup, and, you know, social issues change, or we try new and innovative programming for the time, and it either works or doesn't work. So it's definitely a cycle, like, going over and over. A big one is a constant struggle for, like, funding. And just the changing neighborhood and population that we've had to serve. Like I said, we started out, it was a lower income neighborhood, you know, with Italian residents. And then that kind of changed as those families became more upwardly mobile and moved out. And then different populations moved in. Then we became, you know, we're right in the middle of student housing and more affluent housing. So just changing like who we serve and how we serve them. And that's kind of just always been a circle, like what is happening in Neighborhood House over and over.
I know that we're going to kind of talk about like programs that support the community a little bit later, but how can someone support Neighborhood House?
Yeah, so we, I mean, there's a lot of different ways. We look for volunteers. We look for community input on what we're doing and feedback, monetary donations, in-kind donations, like donating food to our pantry. We do volunteer work days where we can get a ton of work done at the center. We have people that like lead fitness classes that are just volunteers, so we're always looking for people to facilitate programs too. We get a ton of UW and younger volunteers helping with youth programs. So yeah, whatever way that works for people, we try to have it work for us for volunteering or you know, donating.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Are there any like long kind of traditions at Neighborhood House or like programs that have been around for a while?
We've always done youth programming. So mm-hmm. our first program that we started was clinics for children. And we okay. had a play school and a preschool really early on. So that's always been something that we've always done in some form. Mm-hmm. Like summer camp has been going on for at least 50, 40 years wow. probably.
Yeah.
Like some form of youth summer camp. We have really mm-hmm. old pictures of like the park nearby us. Yes. And then for a really long time we did have a food pantry, and people still we restarted the food pantry in 2020, but
okay.
in the time from like 2010 to 2020 when we didn't have one, we'd have people coming by and saying that they had been at the food pantry like 20 years prior.
Yeah.
And then just social services, like we, for families and parents, like English classes are what we started out with. Mm-hmm. And we've had a long history of helping immigrants in some okay. in a different way, like with the original population we served. And then now we have a variety of cultural groups that meet at Neighborhood House, mm-hmm. like different African groups, different cultural dance groups.
Perfect. Yeah. I know you talked about like the history of Neighborhood House, but how mm-hmm. did you kind of come to Neighborhood House, and what's that like impact for you? Like why?
Yeah, so like I said, my background was in youth development. Mm-hmm. So I went to UW, and I actually lived really close to Neighborhood House and like saw it and walked by it and didn't know what it was, which a ton of people say.
Yes.
And I went to school for geography and environmental studies. Then I worked in New Orleans in a school, and then came back to Wisconsin and worked in youth development with the university. And that was just really big and very top down. I didn't feel like I was making a huge impact. So mm-hmm. I was looking for something smaller, and Neighborhood House is like as small as you can get. And it appealed to me that it was so small and that I could, you know, have a say and start new programs. I just kind of fell in love with Neighborhood House and everything that we do. And mm-hmm. I love it.
It's just such a great community too. There's,
yeah.
I feel like people are really dedicated and they seem to find their way back. And I'm really happy to be working there right now too.
Yeah, we love it.
Well, thank you so much. And we will be back after this break with Joe Lazar. Thank you so much. Here comes